scream and shout with all your might. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. Either you are wrong or I am right.
And don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility, you are wrong and I am. Fuck you. I know what you were thinking. You were thinking, hey, did the great one forget to turn the microphone on? Is he at this moment yelling at the internet, but none of it's getting recorded? No, no, I had the microphone on. I did launch the cruise missile. It's happening over here. Got me a mug of hot tea going on. Bouncing my tea bag in the fluid right now. That sounds sexual. Bouncing my tea bag. Tea bag bouncing. That's what's happening. It's the first real podcast in a while because of the work. It still never ceases to amaze me how, when we leave town for a gig, when I get back to my house where nobody's been there because I've been gone, nobody else is here. It's like, how did this place get to be such a fucking disaster area? I got dishes, I got shit to put, and I hate unpacking. God damn, I hate having to unpack and put shit the fuck away. Also because I don't pack lightly. One of the guys I work with was giving me shit about how much stuff I had. It's like, no, I don't. He's like, you don't pack light, do you? No, I don't. Not when I have control. Now, if I'm traveling on an airplane, which the great one tries to avoid, because I don't mind the airplane part, the flying part is fine. The part I don't like is the TSA agents touching my ball sack and going through all of my stuff. One of the last times I flew, which has been years, had my photography gear with me, and when I was coming back from New York State, and oh my god, did TSA have to go through all my photography shit. Hey, fucking douchebags. Speaking of douchebags, just in case you don't know this, I am the Great One himself, the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society, been on the internet since 1999, been podcasting for 13 years, CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. You can send me email at God, dog spelled backwards, God, at CYNLIBSOC.com. And if you want to support the show, support me, give me money, you can spend money buying shit you don't need over at Amazon.com. And you can do that through my Amazon affiliate link. Say, great one, how do I do that? Where do I go on your website to click on the Amazon affiliate link? You know what? You don't even have to do that anymore. Because the great one finally figured this out. It's called a fucking link shortener. I've had it for years, and I should have thought about this much sooner. But I was busy, you know, obsessing about redheads and yelling about fucking social justice warriors. I couldn't think of this. All you gotta do, go to your browser and you type in cls.link, cls.link/Amazon. Try it right now. Try it. If you don't believe me, I know what you're saying. It's a great one. I think you're lying. I don't think I can go to Amazon.com via the link, cls.link/Amazon, and spend a bunch of money and then you'll get a percentage. I think you're lying. You know what? You guys should test that to find out. You should go to Amazon right now by first typing in cls.link/Amazon, and when Amazon pops up, you should type in, I don't know, you should type in Worthless by Aaron Clary, and you should put that in your cart, and then you should type Bachelor Pad Economics, Aaron Clary, okay, put that in your cart. If you know any young men, you should buy a copy of Bachelor Pad Economics for them also. You should only buy Dead Tree copies, because that pisses Aaron Clary off, because he hates Dead Tree books. And then you should type in Pushing Rubber Downhill, and you'll get Adam Piggott's book, and then it's going to suggest that you also buy Run, Guts, Pull, Cone. So you put both of those books into your shopping cart, and then you type in The Rational Male, and you're going to find Rollo Tomasi's The Rational Male. You're going to put that in your shopping cart, and you're going to type in The Way of Men, Jack Donovan. You're going to put that in your shopping cart, and then you're going to order all of that stuff. That's what you're going to do. And then we will see if I get a percentage or if I don't get a percentage. If I don't get a percentage, then I'll have to come on the podcast and say, oh, you were right. I didn't get a percentage from that. So that's what we're going to do today, everybody. That's what you should be doing right now. While you're listening to this podcast, make your way to a computer, type in cls.link/Amazon, buy those books. Now, if you want to buy some more stuff too while you're there, that's fine. But buy those books, and then I will let you know whether or not I got a percentage. Anyway, house is a mess. Oh, not packing lightly. I knew I was talking about something. Well, let me scribble a note real quick about something else I want to talk about. I have some notes here. We'll see how that works out. There's not going to be any deep philosophical shit today, nor is there really going to be any yelling about social justice warriors. If you came for any of that, you're not getting. This is mostly just going to be personal stories as I catch up on shit that's happened. And drink hot tea. As soon as I'm finished here, I'm going to the fucking gym. It's another part of this job that sucks with the traveling and stuff, is not being able to go to the gym on a regular basis. The hotel we were staying at had a fitness room, but yeah, it's just, God. All these hotel fitness rooms, you can tell they're geared towards women because they have the treadmills in there, because God forbid a woman should actually walk or run outside. You can't go outside and get exercise. Oh, hell no. And then it's got some little, dumbbells. It's got dumbbells, like the heaviest dumbbells in there were the 50 pounders. And there's no free weights, there's no barbells. And of course, there's no fucking bench press rack or, God forbid, a squat rack. So it's like, okay, 50 pounds is the heaviest thing in here. Not that I can, not that 50 pounds isn't heavy enough for me to do some shit, but it's like, it's not even worth it. So I'm looking forward to getting to the gym today. I'm going to take some podcast with me. Speaking of that, there's the fucking... that's odd. Talking to myself. Left the MP... It doesn't matter. Speaking of MP3 players, I have bitched and moaned and groaned. Wait, really? Great one. You bitched and moaned and groaned? Yeah, I know. Shocking. Say, great one. Are you going to finish the story about packing? Yes, I will finish the story about packing. Let me do this. As you know, I bitched about trying to find an MP3 player that didn't suck balls. And as you may or may not know, because I don't remember if I told you guys this story, Aaron Clary, Captain Capitalism himself, I could ruin Aaron Clary's reputation. I could destroy his reputation by telling you people what a just all-around great fucking human being this man is. Because I know everything. He's racist. He's sexist. He hates black people. He's so mean and evil. It's like, oh, God, guys. You know, I was thinking all these chicks who didn't want to date Aaron Clary because he's short. Ah, man, you guys missed out. I'm sure his current girlfriend is very happy, though. You girls missed out. He's a great guy. He's a great fucking guy. God, sorry, Clary. I mean, no, he's a total fucking douchebag asshole. The guy is a fucking jerk. Oh my God, he's such a bastard. Mr. Clary, because he is such a fucking asshole, gave unto the Great One his old MP3 player, which is this is so nice. This is what I've been looking at. A nice, easy-to-use MP3 player that fucking plays the files in the correct goddamn order, which apparently is too complicated for some MP3 players out there. So Mr. Clary gave me this MP3 player, which I have in my hand right now. I'm going to be using that when I go to the gym today and do some fucking squats. If the squat rack is not being squatted upon, stop squatting on the squat rack. You can squat on the squat rack, but don't squat on the fucking squat rack. Oh, God, puns. I'm a fucking comedian. Look out, Bill Burr. I'm coming for you. We'll talk about Bill Burr in a minute. Or, knowing me, 7 minutes. I also, however...
Where the fuck is it? I've lost it. It's somewhere.
Oh, I know where it is. Hang on. I'll be right back. I took one more shot at it. I bought another MP3 player. It's another AGP Tech, and this one, the interface doesn't look like an iPod interface, but not behave like an iPod interface, which confused the fuck out of me. And I'm finally starting to figure out how it works. And so far, I have to say this one is actually working pretty fucking well. And here's the main reason I bought it. I bought it because on the back of the MP3 player, it's a full-size player. The one that Cappy gave me is it's the size of a USB stick, maybe a little bit bigger than a typical USB stick, because they keep getting smaller and smaller and smaller. So it's nice and small, easy to use. This one is the size of a quote-unquote, what I'll call a normal MP3 player. On the back of it, it has solar panels for recharging. Now, I know what you're saying. You're saying, great one. You're an idiot. Well, we knew that. You're saying, great one. How did your dick get to be that big? Well, no, you're saying, great one. What are you, like some kind of environmentalist wacko now? You're going to fucking buy an MP3 player that charges with the sun because you care about the environment and you believe in globe? No. No, don't give a flying shit about that. Here's why I bought... Hold on, I'll be right back. I gotta put it back in the sun. Here's why I bought an MP3 player that has solar panels on the back. Because you know what the Great One hates? Well, yes, the Great One does hate that, but otherwise. You know what else the Great One hates? Well, yeah, the Great One definitely hates that. All right, do you know what else the Great... Well, we could do this all day. The Great One hates when the Great One is out on the fucking trails, running, hiking, biking, you know, looking at girls, recording podcasts, meditating, whatever the fuck the Great One is doing out there. And the Great One's MP3 player battery runs the fuck out. Oh, that pisses the Great One off. So I'm on the Amazon of the .com, which I didn't go there via cls.link/Amazon because I can't buy from my own affiliate, unfortunately. Believe you me, I fucking tried it. But you can buy through my Amazon affiliate link at cls.link/Amazon. You can do that. I was on the Amazon at the .com and I saw the MP3 player with the solar panel and I thought, hey, maybe that could be the solution. Right? I'm out there on the trail. It's nice and sunny. All I gotta do now is figure out how to mount your girlfriend, how to mount the MP3 player in such a way as to keep the solar cells exposed to the sun, so that it charges while I'm out there. I'm assuming, these are all assumptions, that it will charge while it's also playing. I don't know that it doesn't, but I don't know that it does. This sort of information is not covered in the instructions, which were translated from Chinese into broken English. So far, the battery life has actually been pretty goddamn stupendous too. So we'll see how all that works. Anyhow, there's enough talking about MP3 players for the moment. We can move on to more important things, such as why the Great One doesn't pack light. Now, if the Great One has to take an airplane, which the Great One doesn't like doing because of aforementioned TSA ball fondling, the Great One in that circumstance can definitely pack light because I don't check luggage, because we know that checking luggage is another way of saying I never want to see this stuff again in my life. At the very least, I want some TSA agent to go through it and take anything that they want. But when the Great One is traveling by vehicle, as we did in this case, we drove to the city where we did everything, the Great One takes the giant fucking suitcase and makes no attempt to pack light. When the great one is packing, that works like this. It's like, okay, so I need work clothes, and I go to the closet, and I pull out some work shirts, and I grab some work shorts, and then I know I need blacks. So I grab my black shirt, and I grab my long black pants, and just still on the hangers, you just throw it in the suitcase. And it's like, all right, I need some civilian clothes. So I grab a couple of t-shirts, and I grab a pair of shorts, all of which are hanging on the hangers. Great one, you put your shorts on hangers. Yes, yes I do. I know, I'm a freak. It's okay, get over it. Throw it in the suitcase. I need my vitamins, and I could take vitamins for each day, put them in a little container, fuck that. I take the giant ass, because it's the giant ass bottles of vitamins, just take the giant ass bottles of vitamins, throw them in the fucking suitcase. I am not attempting to pack. I throw this shit in. All right, better take a couple of books in case I get bored. Throw it in the suitcase. Need the computer so I can download porn while I'm at the internet. While I'm at the hotel. Which we did watch porn. We turned on. We got home late one night. Home. Home being to the hotel room. I had to share a hotel room with Kane. Man, I hate sharing. I'm not a sharing motherfucker, as you may have guessed. And I don't like people. And usually, our budget was tight on this one. Usually, I can score a hotel room by myself whenever we travel. This one, the money was tight, so we had to double up. I don't hate Kane. The situation is, when you've been around somebody for like 2 days, constant. We're out there, you get up in the morning. You see him, we go down and we're working and we're looking at each other all day long. And it's like we go get food together because he can't drive. I can fucking drive. So I got to haul him around to get food and everything. And we go and we work and then we go to bed and you get up and you see him again. And then you go and it's like, dude, it's like I have seen your fucking ass for, you know, 3 days straight. It's like I am so tired of you. I just don't want to see you anymore. Hate sharing a fucking hotel room when we're on the road. But oh, the first world problems. It's good. It's good that this is the biggest problem in my life, right? I'm not... Oh, great one. What are you agitated about today? What's sticking a corn cob in your ass? Well, I had to share a hotel room with another guy while I was on the road doing a gig that I was getting paid to do. You know, as opposed to, oh, my caseworker called me. Or, oh, I have to check in with my parole officer. Or, oh, yeah, you know, my children I had with these women out there that I was never married to but just shot coming to one night while I was drunk. Yeah, it's a great life when the biggest fucking problem you have is that you had to share a hotel room with another person. Anyway, we went back to the hotel room one night, and he flipped on the TV, because he's a TV watcher. I'm not. That's why I bring books. And that's another reason I don't like sharing a hotel room. Another reason, of course, is I can't walk around naked. Well, I could, but it'd be a little weird. I hate sharing a hotel room with fucking TV watchers, and everybody's a fucking TV watcher these days, it seems like. So he flips on the TV, and I'm like, oh, God, this is going to suck. And he found the channel that was running a Star Trek marathon, original series Star Trek. And I'm like, okay, I can handle this. So he sat there and Star Trek marathoned. The next night, they were doing Star Trek marathon again, but the next night it was Next Generation, which, as you know, if you've been around for a while, Next Generation sucks. And so, yeah, the great one doesn't pack light. Just throw the shit in the suitcase. Throw everything, anything I think I might need. Oh, yeah, then you got to take extra shoes because I'm wearing my work shoes. Then I got to take my sandals. Then if I think I'm going to have time to go running, I got to take the running shoes and some running clothing, which I did not do. That I knew I wasn't going to have time to go running, and I didn't. So I didn't take any running shit. Bill Burr. I've been listening to some new podcast, trying to expand my horizons a little bit. And also, I am getting dangerously close to being caught up on all of Aaron Clary's podcast. It's the, what do you call that thing? MP3 player with the solar panels is actually loaded up with Clary podcast. I'm about 50 episodes away from being caught up. I've been listening to the last current 5 or 6 episodes. I jumped ahead and listened to those. I'm caught up on Adam Piggott, finally. So now if I can maintain that level of being current on the 2 most favorite podcasts that I listen to, that for being, obviously, the Clary podcast and the Pushing Rubber Downhill podcast. Now I can start working in some other stuff. Not got plenty of it saved up. So I dumped a bunch of Bill Burr's Monday Morning podcast on there. I have to say, I was not impressed. And I will not be listening to any more Bill Burr. Now, not to distract from Bill Burr as a comedian, that's why I figured, hey man, this guy's got a podcast. I said I should subscribe to this because he's funnier than shit. A great one. Why didn't you like the Bill Burr podcast? I think the number one thing I didn't like, and it's not, he mentions that he talks about this in the notes, but it's like, man, that is a lot of talking about sports. If I wanted to listen to sports talk podcast, I would listen to sports talk podcast. And I was just very disappointed. I thought it was going to be a little... And I've heard some excerpts from his podcast on the YouTube, which was another reason I decided to subscribe to the podcast. It was interesting, but it wasn't for me, man. It was too much sports. And then people write in wanting his advice on stuff. And so I talked about this. I ripped on Bill a little bit a while back in the podcast because I played a segment from his podcast, which I found on the YouTube, where he talked about how, you know, somebody wrote in and said, hey, I was at dinner with my in-laws or whatever, and I said I've supported Donald Trump or something like that, and they got all pissed off. And Bill Burr says, well, you know, you should know better than to talk about politics with your family. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's a great approach. Let's you know, not talk. Let's manage other people's emotions for them. Right, Bill? Don't talk about politics around your fucking in-laws, because gosh, you wouldn't want to hurt their feelings. You know, every time I hear someone telling me how I have this obligation to manage someone else's emotions, and Bill wasn't telling me, but you know what I'm saying here. Anytime someone shows up with this, well, you have an obligation to manage other people's emotions for them shit, I don't have the patience for that shit, man. Said it before, I'll say it again, right? If you're banging a woman, sure, you're obligated to an extent to manage her emotions for you. When it's your mom or your sister or whatever, yeah, you have a little. But when we start getting to the in-laws, you know, your own parents, you have a little obligation to manage their emotions for them. I mean, your mother did carry you around in her womb for 9 months and then fucking lay there while you squeezed out through the hole. You know, your father fucking supports. Well, for you younger people who don't actually have fathers, you have no idea what I'm about talking about now. But for those of you who had fathers who actually supported you and stuff, all right, you can. For a lot of you out there, by father supporting you, that would be the government supporting you. Yeah, you have an obligation to manage their emotions a little bit, sure. But once you get to your in-laws, no, I think there's no obligation for managing emotions whatsoever at that point. Great one, you're not married. No, I'm not, because I didn't make that mistake. That's why the great one's not going to be getting divorce raped anytime soon. So anyhow, somebody wrote in to Bill Burr, and I listened to, unlike when I listened to, what was that podcast called? God damn it. It's not God damn it, that's not the name of the podcast. No Agenda. No Agenda podcast. I listened to about 45 seconds and I was gone. And I said something about that on the podcast. And somebody hit me up on the Twitterverse. I think it was Cynic in Chief, who said, no, you just didn't listen long enough. You've got to listen longer and you'll get it. I'm like, okay, so I'm going to go back at some point. I will give No Agenda another shot because one of my listeners said that you need to listen. And I'm like, okay, that's a legit point. That is legit. 45 seconds is not really long enough to judge the quality of a podcast. I should know better than this, but as I've said before, humans are stupid and we always have to learn things the hard way. So keeping this in mind, I gave Bill Burr more than 45 seconds. I listened to 2.5 episodes of the podcast. In one of them, somebody wrote in for advice about girls, and they said unto Bill in the letter, "And would you please ask for advice from the lovely Mia?" And apparently Mia is Bill Burr's wife. Now, I don't know if she's lovely or not, because I've never seen the woman, but I do know this. I know that asking women for advice when it comes to dating women is a stupid idea. And another reason I'm not going to listen to Bill Burr is because he didn't say that. He was willing to let his wife give this person advice. This was really funny because it was a kid. The kid was, if I remember correctly, a sophomore in high school and is having problems with this girlfriend. And I'm not even going into details, but to his credit, Bill Burr is like, dude, you're a sophomore in high school. What? Yeah, in fact, Bill didn't go far enough, in my opinion, but he at least went in the right direction. I mean, this kid doesn't need to be writing into Bill Burr. This kid needs to be writing into Asshole Consulting, which you can find at assholeconsulting.com. In fact, what you can do is if you go to cls.link/Amazon, and then while you're at Amazon, you type in Aaron Clary, and you'll get Aaron Clary's author page. It'll show you all the books he's written, including my personal favorite, Boris the Shitting Buffalo, which is right up there with Bachelor Pad Economics. You could buy all of Aaron Clary's books, and that would point you in the right direction, and you wouldn't need to write Bill Burr a letter and ask him for advice on girls. But even after reading the Aaron Clary Literary Canon, which you bought at Amazon.com in dead tree format, specifically to piss Aaron Clary off, via my Amazon affiliate link so that I can get money to buy shit that I don't need, like little Supergirl figurines that will serve no fucking purpose on the planet Earth other than to sit on a shelf and collect dust. If, after all of that, after contributing to the fucking GDP and after buying Aaron's books and after giving me your money, after all of that glory and after all of that wisdom is imparted unto you from reading those books, if you still needed help, you could go to assholeconsulting.com and you could write him and say, "Dear Mr. Clary, asshole, cocksucking, motherfucking son of a bitch that you are. I am a sophomore in high school and my ex-girlfriend keeps teasing me and fucking with me and her parents really like me, but she hates me and what should I do?" And then Aaron will kick your ass and explain to you that there are 3.5 billion women on the planet Earth, and you're a sophomore in high school, and you should fucking move on. And Aaron, if he's in a mood for it, may also explain to you that you do not, under any fucking circumstances, ask women for advice on dating women. Because women don't date women, and they don't know anything about dating women, unless they're lesbians or bisexual. Here's the thing on asking women for advice on dating women. This is me speaking for me. This is not me speaking for Asshole Consulting. .com, which you can find at assholeconsulting.com. And yes, you have to pay for it. It's not free. See, Bill Burr is giving free advice. Free advice is worth what you pay for it. Assholeconsulting.com, you pay for it. It's worth something. What was I talking about? Hang on. I really just want to get to the fucking gym. You guys are lucky I'm even... No, great one, we're not lucky. You can stop listening anytime. You guys are lucky I'm podcasting. I really want to fucking go outside and go to the gym. It's going to happen soon. Why you don't ask girls for dating advice with girls? Women as a whole, as I've explained to you before, are complete... Because here's the thing, and this is a legit question. Some of you out there may be thinking, well, great one. Should women ask men for dating advice when it comes to dating men? Well, the answer is yes. So then you would think, because women are equal, that you, it would be okay for men to ask women for dating advice when it comes to dating women. No, and here's why. Here's the difference. You're saying, wait, great one. There's no difference between men and women. Gender is a social construct created by the patriarchy to oppress women and disadvantaged peoples. Oh, apparently there's all the rage now. I'm seeing this all over the place on the interwebs. I have not yet read it. Apparently there's an article that was published that says black people can never make as much money as white people or something into that effect. Like I said, I haven't read it yet, so I don't really know. I just know that there's a bunch of buttholes being hurt right now. I will eventually, perhaps, maybe, go read it, and if it's worthy, make fun of it on the podcast. I have a lot of other things I need to make fun of first, however. Like your mom! Oh, mom jokes! Oh, I'm so funny! Bill Burr, look out! I'm coming for you, man! Ugh. Women cannot give advice to men on dating women. Not simply because women don't date women, we're talking about straight women here, but because they completely lack self-awareness. For example, as we know, because I have talked about this ad nauseum, some of you right now are already rolling your eyes because you know what's coming, right? The woman did the experiment, stuck the thingy up in the woman's hooches. Right? Showed them the porn movies. The women said, oh, I am not aroused. And yet they were aroused because women do not even know what makes them sexual. It's not that they don't. They don't know they are sexually aroused. Right? Women have no contact between the brain and the body. Because we hear this thing where people, including Mark Manson in his very, very, very excellent book called Models, where you hear this repeated all over the fucking manosphere about how women have this ability to determine what men want and you can't fool women because they're so perceptive. Okay, well, if women are so perceptive and they can know that you're just out to have sex with them and they know you're a loser and they know all this other stuff. Okay, great. Why do women keep fucking the fucking losers? Why do women keep having sex with men who are criminals? Why do women keep marrying and fucking and having sex with men who physically and emotionally abuse them? Why do women keep fucking and marrying and having children with men who emotionally and physically abuse their children? If you women are so fucking perceptive, why do you keep spreading your legs for the scum of the earth? Right? So women don't have self-awareness. They don't have this magical ability to sort out the good guys from the bad guys. Women have no fucking clue what's happening in the world around them other than they need new shoes, their purse is not expensive enough, and oh my God, there's a new iPhone out and I've got to have it. That is pretty much the extent of a woman's awareness of her surroundings. You don't ask women for their advice on dating women because women do not understand themselves, much less other women. Now, you can ask men for advice. If you're a woman, you can ask a man for advice on dating men because men understand themselves. Right? Women have no idea what sexually turns them on. None. If you ask them what sexually turns you on, well, I like a man who's honest. And I think it's really important that a man cares about the same things I do. He cares about the environment and he likes animals. And it's really, really, really super important to me that he cares about children. In reality, that night, she's going to go to a bar and she's going to pick up some fucking drug dealer and she's going to spread her legs and he's going to shoot cum inside of her. He's going to slap her around a little bit and she's never going to see him again. That's the reality. Men, we know what we're attracted to. For a great one. What turns you on in chicks? Okay, let's see. Naturally curly hair. Red hair. Supergirl outfits. Playing volleyball. Really nice legs, really cute tushes, not majoring in something stupid, no shrapnel in the face, no tattoos, no piercings except for the ears. There we go. And if you bring me a girl who fits that description, I'm actually going to be attracted to her. Unlike women, where if you bring women a man who fits the description that they will describe to you when they say what they're attracted to, it's like some slimy little beta male and they would run away from him in horror. Now, great one. Can you ask lesbian women for advice on dating women? No, because lesbian women are not dating women because they like women. Lesbian women, and there's a couple of exceptions out there. Most lesbian women, in my personal experience, this is based on lesbian women I have known, date women, like women, because they hate men. If there's any woman out there that it might be safe to get advice from on dating women, the only category where you might find good advice is bisexual women. But great one. Aren't you the one who says all women are bisexual? You know, if you guys could forget things that I've said in the past and stop using my words against me, that would be really nice, all right? I'm getting tired of this shit where you're smarter than I am. Fuck you all. Fuck you. Yes, I have said that, and it's true. So let me refine the statement I just made. If there's any woman that it might be safe to get dating advice from, it would be a woman who has acted upon her bisexualness extensively. Okay, just like making out with a girl in a bar in order to get attention from the men, that is not acting on your bisexualness. If you are, say, a 30-year-old woman and you've dated at least 6 other women, okay, that would qualify as acting on your bisexualness, providing that you've also dated at least 6 other men. If you're a 30-year-old woman and you've only dated 6 women and 0 men, you're not bisexual. You're not a fae. You're not a unicorn. You're not an attack helicopter. You're a lesbian. And that's fine. You can be a lesbian. You just shouldn't be giving any dating advice to men. Now, having said that, I have, a couple of times in my life, gone out to try to meet girls with lesbian friends of mine. Now that is fun. That's a good time, depending on the lesbian. Obviously, you can't be a man-hating lesbian who wants to kill you because you're a heterosexual white man. But that can be a good time. I talked about all of that a lot longer than I intended to. Let's get on to something that's more important. Let's talk about joint, dude. Let's talk about smoking dope, because I talked about smoking dope in the last episode and I gotta talk about it again. So last night went to meet my little group of friends and then I go out drinking with Alice. Recently had her baby. You may remember me talking about this. Alice is the one that she accidentally got pregnant and decided not to get an abortion because her previous abortion was so traumatic that she didn't want to go through that again, which still fascinates me because I thought abortion was one of the most wonderful and spiritually enlightening things a woman could do with her life. The feminists always tell us that why abortion, it's just a simple procedure. There's nothing traumatic about it whatsoever. And yet here is a left-wing statist woman telling me she doesn't want to get an abortion because her previous abortion was so traumatic. And so this left-wing statist woman, who by her own admission doesn't like children, is going to spit the kid out anyway because She doesn't want to be traumatized by getting an abortion. She's 40 years old. She was going to give birth at home because, of course, 40-year-old women think that they can give birth at home naturally, like 22-year-old women, because 40-year-old left-wing statist women who have spent almost their entire life in academia, she didn't have a real job for about 2 or 3 years. You know, these women deny biology, they deny evolution. Well, I'm 40 years old, of course I can have a child. So anyhow, she ended up having to go to the hospital and the child had to be surgically removed because it didn't want to come out the right way. So we got some updates on all of this, all of the hospital experience. There's some hilarious shit going on here. I even know where to start. Where do I start? Okay. So she had to go to the hospital to have the kid. She spent 3 nights in the hospital. Now, remember, my friends, does anyone remember, what was that guy's name? He was going to lead all of the disadvantaged peoples into prosperity, and he was going to make the world a better place, and he was going to care about the children, and he was going to reduce the cost of health care, and he was going to kill a bunch of Muslims with missiles launched from flying robots, which I paid for with my tax money. What was that guy? And he was also half black, because he couldn't even get fully black. He was only half black. Obama. Does anyone remember when the Messiah, Hussein Obama, signed Obamacare? And it was going to reduce the cost of healthcare. I hear my phone downstairs ringing. I know who it is. I got this guy, he's trying to get his lighting system to work, and he wanted me to drive 50 fucking miles to show him how to work his lighting system on my one day off this week. And I was like, no, man, I got shit to do, which is mostly talking to you guys. So see, talking to you is more important than money, sometimes. It's not so much more important than money. So, and given that you are more important to me than money, shouldn't you go to cls.link/Amazon and spend some money right now? I mean, think about this. Just between Aaron Clary's books, Adam Piggott's books, Jack Donovan has three books, Rollo Tomasi has 3 books. You could buy all of these books and read them. You have to read. You can't. Can I just sleep on them and absorb the wisdom? No. Read them. And you could learn some. You could get Models by Mark Manson. You could also get The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck by Mark Manson. You could buy all of these books via the Great Ones Amazon affiliate link and show me that you appreciate you being more important to me than money. Speaking of money, remember how healthcare was going to be less expensive now? Obamacare was going to reduce the cost of healthcare. Okay. Take a wild guess here, guys. Wild guess. 3 nights in the hospital, and not just in the hospital, but in the birthing center, right? Because the women have their own special. There's a birthing center in the hospital where only women's giving birth are in that area. How much do you think 3 nights at the hospital cost now that we have Obamacare and healthcare spending? It's going to cost less because Obamacare. Now, this isn't the surgeon. This isn't the operation to take the baby out. But this is the room. This is for the privilege of being in this room at the hospital for 3 nights. How much do you think that cost? I'll give you a second to mull that over. Okay, you ready? $25,000. That's 25,000.00. $25,000 for the fucking room. How's that Obamacare work? And she says, well, but after my insurance, we're only going to have to pay about $4,000. To which I thought, great, so that means the other $21,000 is going to be paid by me and all the other taxpayers. I mean, your kid's not even out of your fucking womb yet, and we're already subsidizing your little fucking spawn. Fantastic. Ah, I love it when people who can't afford children have children. Now, there's plenty we could talk about here. Does it really cost $25,000 for a hospital room? No. No, it doesn't. Much like the way the government throws student loans at young kids, that incentivizes colleges to charge more money, I would say probably a lot of the same thing happens with hospitals. The way you can get the government and the insurance companies to throw money at hospitals, say, hey, why not jack up the prices? Plus, you got all this useless overhead in the hospital. So I know this because I've worked in hospitals. Those of you who have been around for a while, you know this. If you're a new listener, my mother worked in hospitals. My grandmother was a nurse for most of her life. She worked extensively in hospitals. My stepfather worked in hospitals. I have worked in hospitals. I know quite a bit about hospitals, including a whole lot of things that if you heard, you would be like, that's gross, and it would motivate you to stay out of hospitals. So stay the fuck out of hospitals if at all possible. Just trust me on this. You don't want to go there. There's a lot of worthless overhead at hospitals, like, you know, the CEO and his $1 million salary. And they are worthless. They are truly worthless. Here's a hospital story for the new folks. If you've been around for a while, you've heard this already. Back when I worked at the hospital, the last hospital I worked at, the upper management people decided that the hospital needed to put together a plan so that in the event of an emergency, such as a flood, which is always a possibility here because we have a river going through town, it's happened before, or, you know, extensive fire or some whatever, disaster, some Muslims fly an airplane into Old Town Fort Collins, which would actually be great. If you guys could time that at the same time there's some kind of left-wing protest happening in Old Town, and then you flew it, that would be fantastic. Hey, ISIS, is there any place I could email you guys a schedule of upcoming left-wing statist protest in the People's Republic of Fort Collins so that you could possibly plan flying an airplane in? That's hate speech! It was decided there needed to be a plan in case of a disaster for getting all of the essential personnel to the hospital. And so they put together this committee, and the committee went away and did whatever committees do, spent a bunch of money, ate a bunch of donuts, drank coffee. And eventually they came back and they said, here, bam, here's this plan. I don't remember the details of the plan. The details are irrelevant. But it says, okay, here we go. We're going to get the, here's what we got. We've got these transportation systems, and we've got these alert systems. We've got this way, something bad happens, okay, bam, and we get the nurses in here, and then bam, and we get the janitors in here, and bam, we get the food production people, and the food services people in here, right? And we get all these people in here. And upper management kind of looked it all over, and they got all through it. And obviously, I'm paraphrasing a lot of stuff here. And upper management looked at them and said, well, wait a minute. There's nothing in your plan about how to get the CEO and the board of directors and the CFO and the CTO and the social media CO and all these people here. And the people on the committee looked back at them and said, yes, but you're non-essential. We don't need you in the case of a disaster. Needless to say, there was great unhappiness. Oh, there was great unhappiness over in the administration wing, because that, you know, we kept all of these people over in their own wing at the hospital, you know, separated from where the doctors and the nurses and the janitors were doing the real actual fucking work that takes place in a hospital, right? And there was great unhappiness over in the administration wing when they were told that they were not essential to operating the hospital. But they're not. And there's a big chunk of your fucking $25,000 for 3 nights stay right there. When your hospital's being run by some fucking douchebag who's making $1 million a year, yeah, you can cut some costs, goddammit. Holy shit. We're almost out. I haven't even got to the good stuff. Dude, I didn't even talk about smoking dope. Okay, so they came in and they said to my friend Al, they asked my friend Alice, the welfare workers, the welfare people have already descended upon her. The baby has been spat out. Welfare workers, social workers, I should say, that's the correct word. Social workers are already talking to her. The government is already trying to get the kid. And the social workers asked her, do you smoke marijuana or use other illicit drugs? And Alice told me about how she lost it and she started lecturing them about how marijuana is not an illicit drug and you can't say marijuana in the same sentence with illicit drugs and how she only smokes marijuana a couple of times a year. And I said, Alice, you just outed yourself, because that's right. When you sit there and freak out because someone calls marijuana an illicit drug, that's telegraphing that you're a dope head. And I said, furthermore, you're lying because your husband smokes dope almost every day and you smoke dope almost as much as he did. So why are you telling people you smoke dope every 2 months when in fact you smoke dope every 2 days? And then she says, well, marijuana doesn't harm children. I said, how do you know this? Do you have any, I don't know, scientific studies? That's right, we don't have any scientific studies on marijuana because it's been illegal to study marijuana. I do know this though, people who smoke a lot of dope are dumber than shit.